This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Kelly Bidlin from A Numbers Game Long Shots podcast will join us. We'll do a little NBA check-in, futures, awards, some big picture stuff, and we will get his thoughts on the Super Bowl. Side total prop, get his thoughts on everything. And Super Bowl is where I'll start. Again, I don't want to do six shows on this between now and the Super Bowl and just do all Super Bowl. You'll get tired of it. I'll get tired of it. You want to pace yourself a little bit with 2 weeks in between, but I will touch on it a little bit here. And again, mix in some different things along the way, but just I know I gave some initial thoughts on the Monday game. I'll dive a little bit more into it now. I'm going to pick the Chiefs. I know that, look, the case for Philly, they're probably the better team, the better roster, and you're getting a couple of points. That's certainly a reason to bet Philly plus the two, but I'll just go back to what I said before the Buffalo game and going back to the games last year. I'm not going to pick against this guy when he's laying less than a field goal or if he's getting points. It's super simple. It's nothing profound, but I'm just going to continue to pick Mahomes. He's just the best player at the best position, and the Chiefs seem to have a different gear, and it will probably be a close game. The Chiefs play in a lot of these close games, and if it's a tie game with 5 minutes to go, do you want Mahomes and Andy Reid, or do you want Sirianni and Hurts? I want Mahomes and Reid. So, and throw Spagnuolo in there, the defense coordinator for the Chiefs, who's obviously tremendous. So, should be another great game. I am going to pick the Chiefs here. I'm surprised you're getting Mahomes at plus money to win MVP. I know it's getting a little cute, and if they ever won the game and he didn't get it, you feel like an idiot. But instead of laying the two, or instead of laying -125, -130, I don't mind. Mahomes, you get +110 at DraftKings to be Super Bowl MVP. I don't think that's a bad look. As far as some props, and here's another thing about the game. I don't think, at least in a couple days, just listening to all the stuff about this game and initial thoughts, I think because Philly's won these games so dominantly, it's flying under the radar. I would look for another kicker. I do not trust Elliott. And in a close game, boy, that guy could miss an extra point. He could miss a field goal. He could miss from anywhere. Butker's good. Butker's been in this game before. Remember, that was a part of the handicap last year. Is, hey, close game, Niners, Chiefs. I trust Butker more than I trust Moody. Same thing here. I trust Butker much more than I trust Elliott in this spot here. So I will go with the Chiefs. And I don't even know. I would imagine you can get another kicker between now and then, just in terms of the rules. If nothing else, if you're the Eagles, say, hey, he's hurt. You know, he's got a quad injury. He's got calf tightness. I need to sign a player, and that would be unusual. I don't know that that's ever happened before. I would imagine it has, even though it is quite unusual. But I would not in any way trust Elliott, and I think that's being slept on. And what's supposed to be a close game, a kicker that you can't trust that's been awful, is something that is obviously something you have to keep in mind here with this game. I will also say that just from a prop standpoint, Goddard, I think, could have a big game. The Chiefs have gotten killed by tight ends. So Goddard, 4.5 catches, +850 to have the most receiving yards in the game. I think those are all decent looks here. And Mahomes over attempts, 35.5, 36.5, just because Fangio has been known for the two high safeties, keep the ball in front, no big plays. So, and I don't think the Chiefs will be able to run the ball that effectively. I know they were pretty effective early against the Bills, but after that, it was really, those runs were a waste of downs for a lot of that game. So you might see it where Mahomes just has to go short throw after short throw. I would lean towards the over in the game anyway. A lot of that is the Chiefs just played an over. The Eagles played an over. These teams met 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, and it was a 73-point total. So I think there will be some sentiment for the over here. I would look towards an over in this game as well. So those are just some initial things. And I mentioned this on the Monday show right after we recorded, right after the AFC Championship game, that it's unusual to see 2 in 3 years the same Super Bowl. And I mentioned Bills Cowboys being one I could think of where they played back to back, but no other ones. And turns out this is the only time, that's the only other time that's even happened twice in 3 years. You got the same Super Bowl. We've had it twice in 4 years with Niners and Chiefs. We had it twice in 4 years, Giants and Patriots. But twice in 3 years, this will only be the second time it's happened. And the other time Bills Cowboys was back to back. So definitely unusual. You get it so quickly. I think I was surprised by that just because NFL, it's the same. You get the Patriots in it a lot with Brady. You got Mahomes in it a lot with the Chiefs. You get a lot of the same, the Cowboys run it a lot. You get a lot of these runs here with the same teams. You'd think there'd be more rematches in a shorter period of time in the short window, but not the case. So 2 in 3 years felt unusual, and it is unusual. This is the only second time. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs. We'll have plenty of time to talk about it in the next coming weeks. I expect a Chiefs high scoring victory. Mahomes over attempts, Goddard over attempts. Goddard, I'm looking at DraftKings 100-1 to win Super Bowl MVP. I mean, if the Chiefs win, it's like a 95%+ chance Mahomes gets MVP. I can't see any scenario where he doesn't. The first Super Bowl against the 49ers, Damian Williams, the running back for the Chiefs, scored 3 touchdowns and they still gave it to Mahomes. I don't see any scenario, unless Mahomes is awful in the game or if Mahomes got hurt, which is something to keep in mind too. Always keep in mind these backup quarterbacks, just because there's always a chance. You're always one hit away from seeing Carson Wentz come in against his old team, which would be an interesting wrinkle, or seeing Pickett come in. Always keep the backup in mind. But barring a Mahomes injury or barring something just insane happening where Mahomes is bad but they still win the game, boy, it's hard to see past Mahomes winning this award if the Chiefs win. Eagles, it's a little more wide open. Barkley's the favorite. Barkley's a rightful favorite. Quarterback is always going to have a chance. But that's at least a team where if they won, there's a lot of different options. Hey, they sell it to stop Barkley, and Brown has a big game. A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith or Goddard or Jalen Carter just wrecks the game on defense and has 3 sacks and a fumble return for a touchdown, something like that. So there's a little more to discuss if you think the Eagles can win. I could buy a sleeper on the Eagles more than I could buy a sleeper on the Chiefs. I think it's pretty open and shut if the Chiefs win, it's Mahomes, and it could be more wide open if it's the Eagles. So I will, 30-27 Chiefs is initial lean. I think it'll be a very good game. Look, the Chiefs, you could not like them. And the ref stuff is exhausting, but they give you good games, and these games are never blowouts. Similar to the Patriots dynasty where they could have won a couple more. They could have lost a couple. All these ones they won, they could have lost. A few they could have lost, they could have won. They never get blown. The Bucs one was a blowout, but for the most part, all these playoff games, all of these Super Bowls, they're close. They're competitive. And I actually think overtime. Overtime is 12-1. We've seen overtime. I mean, it was forever that there was no overtime in Super Bowl until Patriots Falcons in the 2016 one, and then again last year it went to overtime. Chiefs play a ton of close games. 12-1. If you just want to, again, you just want to enjoy the game and have a long shot bet and have some fun with it. 12-1 on overtime, I don't think is crazy. It should be a close game, a competitive game. Look, the line is 2, so 12-1 on overtime, I don't think is crazy. So we will see what Kelly Bidlin thinks. We'll have plenty of time Friday, next week, to talk about the show, different angles, different props. Well, again, want to pace ourselves a little bit. We'll do a little NBA. We'll do a little Super Bowl. That is next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcast. You can catch him on the podcast Long Shots, one of the great golf podcasts there is. A numbers game where you hear him every day on VSiN, 10 to 12 Eastern. It is Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, thanks for coming on, man. What's going on?
Of course. Happy to be back, Will. Thanks, man. Yeah, well, I think for my second appearance. Yeah.
I think this is the third.
You think third? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, makes me feel a little bit better. I was starting to see some of the names recirculate, and I was like, when am I going to get bugged? I like being on this podcast.
Got to use you for NBA. Got to use you. This will be a little bit of an NBA check-in. We'll get to some NBA because I haven't done a lot with all the football going on. But first, there is a football game still to be played, Eagles and Chiefs. Do you have any initial thoughts, initial bets here on this game?
Yeah, I've made a couple. I think it's tough. I'll say things on your podcast I can't really say on the air, so we'll start there. How about that? I think I'm with a lot of people. Of this isn't exactly the most exciting matchup to break down because the Chiefs have been here before. The Eagles were just here a couple years ago. Yes, we've got different teams, but man, a lot of the same things I think when it comes to a Super Bowl still apply. When it comes to talking about these teams for a couple weeks leading up to the game, so. Look, man, it's still Mahomes getting back there. It's incredible to watch every time he does. It's been an exciting run with both of these teams. And, I think the Eagles were partially being slept on for a lot of the year, right? They just weren't ever kind of in the minds. I don't think many people at least had them number one in their NFC teams for most of the season, where Detroit usually was that spot for most people. So, look, at the end of the day, though, we got two great teams playing in the Super Bowl. I had a futures ticket on the AFC conference, Will. How exciting is that? Always the AFC NFC one you see listed. I've never bet it. I feel like every time we get to the Super Bowl or into the playoffs, though, I always, one side starts to intrigue me, and you always wonder. I've wondered in years past, am I going to be able to get some CLV if I bet it now? Is it not going to matter at all? And I think the times in the past when I've checked it, it really hasn't ended up mattering, and it's usually not a bet that's really worth considering too early in the playoffs. That kind of happened to me again. I got the AFC -115. So what am I going to get, like 5 cents or something like that of a CLV if it got kicked off today? So that's how I ride into the game. I'm glad I have that ticket though, because man, if it was betting aside, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to pick one right now. I would at least would not be able to financially support a side in this game right now. So I'm not buying off my position at all. I am very fine having my money on the Patrick Mahomes side of things. But man, straight up side in this game, I think it's tough to figure out right now.
If I gave you a free roll and say, hey, you have to pick a side, you're going to lose the free roll if you don't pick a side. Pick a winner right now.
Eagles.
Okay. Okay. Look, the Eagles, I think, have the better roster, and you're getting a couple of points. I mean, you're going to hear it every single show, everywhere. Can't bet against Mahomes. But we all said it last year in all these games. Can't bet against Mahomes. And you know what? Sometimes the simple, boring, the guy at the bar is the analysis of, hey, I'm not betting against Mahomes. Sometimes that's the right answer. So I don't know. Should be a lot of fun. Any props jump out to you? MVP props? Any player props? Anything?
Yeah, I jumped on a couple early, and I think you did ask the perfect follow-up question, because it is like, yeah, I would pick Eagles. I would pick Eagles if I had nothing going right now, no action leading in. But I also think that shows how up in the air I really think it is, because I'm not buying off my position of the AFC to win at all. At least right now, I have no plans to do that. So I easily could. I could just grab a little bit off that. It's not like it was a massive bet or anything, but so I'm comfortable rolling with that. And you're right. I think the boring guy at the bar arguing of you should never bet against Mahomes, there's definitely a lot of that rears its head this time of year. And it's hard to deny that factor. So yeah, that's all I'm rolling with for the side. I think I've heard a lot of smart people say it already. So I'll add the dumb opinion too, but I think the over is probably an early look. I do think we're going to see that total rise a little bit. I would be a lean to the over. It would be a bet if this number goes down at all for me, Will, but I don't expect we're going to see it go down much. I think we're going to get into the 50s. 50, 51 is probably where we're going to see this thing at. As far as props, I did bet a couple kind of right away. And look, I think this is a very, very interesting year to talk about props, because we're getting more of these books that are putting this stuff up right away. I mean, we were seeing multiple books up with stuff right after the AFC Championship game Sunday night. And I mean, especially out here in Vegas, that is a foreign concept. And, you know, MGM and Caesars kind of being the first to market with a lot of these props. And even those, you know, I think Caesars and Boyd had stuff out here in Vegas. And Boyd, if you guys are unfamiliar, if you're listening at home, largely just copies what FanDuel has up. So you're getting a lot of the same FanDuel markets. But even Boyd and Caesars, they put stuff up, Will, but it wasn't their full menus, I think, that were available kind of rest of country. Whereas MGM, as best I could tell, was their full menu that they were putting up kind of rest of country. So I did jump in on a couple. I bet these, I attacked the Chiefs running game kind of the same way in the AFC Championship. I actually ended up betting these heavier, kind of similar props. Bet them heavier this past weekend than I did for the Super Bowl, but my thinking, I think, on this is tracking right, and it was only confirmed in the AFC Championship. And that's that Isaiah Pacheco is not healthy. And the idea that you are leaning on him or expecting him to be the all-star running back that we've seen carry this team or help carry this team in the past, I don't think you're getting that same guy right now. Now, the problem is, why did I dial back bets on him and Kareem Hunt a little bit, is because they do have 2 weeks. I don't know what he's going to look like in 2 weeks. Maybe it looks a whole lot different, but it sure seemed to me heading into that AFC Championship game that Kareem Hunt was the far better back whenever he was on the field. So I had bet some overs with him, some unders on Pacheco. I did the same thing right out of the gates as soon as props went up, just because I expected these numbers to change over the couple weeks. So I got in on Kareem Hunt over on his rushing yards, 42.5. I had to lay -130 for that. But even when I bet that, and I don't remember exactly which shop I bet that at, but I bet that Sunday night. And even at that point, it was mid 40s mainly on him, 44, 45 up. So I do like him as kind of the lead back. I chose to go with rushing yards, and then Pacheco, I went a little bit differently than I did last week. I just went his longest rush under 8.5 yards, which you go back and check out his game log more times than not, even with limited carries, he's getting over that mark. But I think with that Philadelphia front, I think it's going to be tough to expect a 9-yard, 10-yard plus gain out of him with limited carries. Cause I would lean under on everything on Pacheco, at least right now. Again, can 2 weeks change the things? Sure. It sure could.
Any, any outside the box thinking on MVP? Anyone you're just going to take a stab at, or you just feel like it's chalky? It's Mahomes. It's probably Barkley. It's probably Hurts.
I think it's chalky. However, I think it's an interesting market this year, because at least as of right now, I'm kind of surprised to see as big of a difference in what you're getting Mahomes at compared to what the Chiefs price is just to win. I mean, the fact that you're getting 25, 30 cents, I'm a little surprised by that. I mean, we know he's one of the top guys of just quarterback correlated with a team to win that award. I don't think there's a ton of other game scripts that can play out where he's not winning that award. I know Gil brought one up earlier. Yeah, if he has one of those games where he throws for 180 yards, and over 110 of that's going to Kelce or something like that, and Kelce's catching the one and only touchdown, sure. I think that's a script that I can get behind, but I don't think any of these backs is winning it. I don't think any of the receivers, chew up enough of the target share to really warrant that much. That you looking that much at them for MVP. And I'm never a big believer in anybody on the defensive side of the ball winning this award or putting my money behind that, at least. So I think it would be Mahomes there. And then, Will, I think on the same thinking, I do think it's Barkley on the Philly side. I do think that it's hard for me to envision Philly winning this game without Saquon Barkley really making an impact. And really the only way, in my mind, if that does happen, is it's Kansas City is selling out to stop the run and leaving those wide receivers on islands on the outside, and maybe Hurts picks them apart that way. But I if I was betting Philly, I would have at least some amount of money on Barkley for MVP.
Yeah, I think it's you said it well, where if it's the Chiefs, it's Mahomes. It's probably 90%+ of the time, maybe even 95%+ of the time. Or for the Eagles, all right, it's likely Barkley and then maybe Hurts, but I could see some variance with Barkley. Like you said, they sell out to stop the run, and the Chiefs don't do well against tight ends. Maybe Goddard has a 9 for 135 and 2 touchdowns. You get him at 100, 120 to 1, or A.J. Brown, one of the receivers, has a monster day. Again, if you're having a monster day passing, that's probably tend to give it to the quarterback. But when you're talking triple digit odds, and look, it's 2 weeks to talk about the game, you're kind of talking out all possibilities. At least on Philly, there's maybe some more possibilities as opposed to the Kansas City side.
Yeah. I think there's I agree with you there. I do think there are some concerns. Yeah. Just going to break down, just breaking down this matchup. Look, Kansas City, that defense was great for most of the season. You look kind of the last few weeks of the regular season and into these playoffs. I mean, slowing down the run has been a problem.
Yes.
I think it is something to very much keep in mind as you go into up against a matchup where there's not a team in the league really right now that you'd want to face a rushing attack like Philly's when you're having problems on that side of the ball. So I think that's notable. And then, I mean, look, the biggest advantage, I think the biggest mismatch in this game is that Eagles defensive line and defensive front versus what this Kansas City offensive line. I think Kansas City's gotten away with it a little bit the past couple weeks, but man, especially in that interior with some of the guys the Chiefs are at starting out there, the guards and center position, just to go up against the defensive tackles of the Chiefs. I think it's going to be a monumental task and probably a turning point in the game. We'll see who can really win that battle.
All right, NBA check-in here for those that haven't been paying attention. We're going to start with some big picture stuff. A Celtics-Thunder final is possible, it's likely, or it's inevitable?
Oh, man. Likely, extremely likely. I don't know if I'll go inevitable, but it is.
Plus 350. You can still, like, it's so chalky. Oh, it's only plus 3, but plus 350 if you think it's, I mean, I don't think that's a terrible bet, but that's why
I don't hate it, Will. I usually do not get involved in these type of bets, just betting a conference at this time of year. I'm getting very close to pulling the trigger on Thunder to win the West. I think it's sitting at plus 125 right now at DraftKings. I haven't really shopped around yet. I think if you're going to make that bet, though, you should get your money in before Chet Holmgren comes back. They're not exactly playing at the same level the past couple weeks as they've played, we've seen for most of the season, but man, this team is just so wildly talented, both offensively and defensively. And I hate to even say it, but without a major injury, I guess specifically to SGA, because we've already seen them deal with injuries to Chet, to Hartenstein. Like we've already seen them kind of push through that adversity. So without SGA going down for a while, I just There's a lot of really good teams in the Western Conference. There is. This is not me saying the West is really bad or anything like that, but the Thunder are that good that I think they are head and shoulders above the rest of the competition in the Western Conference. So that's how I think about them out West. Yes, I think the Celtics are still the most likely to come out of the East, so I don't hate your bet at all that you're bringing up there, especially if I'm about to go bet the Thunder to win the Western Conference.
If somebody breaks up that final, give me a team in the West and give me the team in the East that's most likely to break it up.
Dallas Mavericks and New York Knicks. Oh, wow. That requires a lot of health swings in the Mavericks direction here. That requires Luka Doncic to come back and look like he looked like at times last year. Now, I can't even say at times this year because I don't even really think we ever saw him get to a point of where he's been at the past couple of years, even earlier in the season. He had like a couple week really good stretch early in the season before he went down with injury, but that's about it. He gets back though. You get Derek Lively back in there. I think what we saw some of the top level competition that they put on display last season, they would still be my pick. I think Denver's really good. I think Houston's really good. I think Memphis is really good and has some potential there, especially if they make a move or two. I think we're still talking all those teams being below what a Dallas Mavericks team can do with those couple of bigs and then always Kyrie Irving or Luka Doncic to lean back on to score. When you talk about some of these other teams, Denver asks so much of Nikola Jokic, and it's just in the playoffs this year, it's going to be even more so than we've seen in years past, because the team that, you know, traded away some parts and is different than what we saw the past couple of years ago, they're getting through the regular season just fine, but it is coming off of a monumental regular season by Nikola Jokic once again that somehow kind of, it feels like it's flying under the national radar a little bit. But he's been incredible. I think playoff time, though, when you're able to have a little bit more time to dissect these matchups, I think some teams will be able to get to that. And Memphis, too. I want to love this Memphis team, but you got to get Ja Morant so a little bit more help from a scoring standpoint. So I'm interested to see if they do anything before the trade deadline. And the Rockets, I love. I love Ime Udoka. I love a couple of the pieces on their team. I kind of hate that they went and spent all that money on a Fred VanVleet, though. I think they are still an up and coming team. And I think to expect them to win the Western Conference is still a little too much for me.
For people that aren't completely locked in on the NBA, been paying more attention to football or college or whatever, they'll see the Cavs and say 37-9 and be surprised. Is this a situation where, hey, this is more of a regular season thing, they don't have a top five player and they're not a legitimate title contender, or is that being overly dismissive of them?
Yes and no. I think I might be slower than most to come around to this Cavs team, because I think we've seen them be a strong regular season team the past couple seasons already. Donovan Mitchell is going to always do his thing. The one player in the one part of this conversation that becomes tricky is Evan Mobley. We all expected him to continue to get better. He's taken another leap this year. But I think if we're really, really talking about this Cavs team making an Eastern Conference Finals or beyond that, Evan Mobley ascends into superstar status. And I don't know if we're fully there yet, Will. And it's a lot to ask of the kid. I think when we talk about some of these players and are they good enough? Or, yeah, like Mobley does it on both sides of the ball. He's incredible. His attacking the rim rate this year is way up, and it's something we've all been yelling for to see more of out of him. I like the pieces. I'm still always concerned with a team, especially in the playoffs, that lacks some of that talent at the wing position. And it's a lot of guard and center heavy with this team. And I don't know that that's going to create the most favorable matchups for them with some of the teams they might run into in the playoffs.
Some possible trades. Would Zion be traded? Do you think we'll ever see a second chapter of his career where he actually reaches his potential, gets in better shape, can stay on the court? If you're another team, would you take a chance? Do you think there's some possibility there?
Yeah, I think I've been one of the bigger Zion fans out there over the beginning parts of his career. I think especially what we've seen over the past year or two when he's on the court and kind of figuring out, hey, let's run him kind of as more of a point forward, a little bit more how Giannis has played in Milwaukee a lot of the times. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think we saw him have some success with that at parts of last season. It's just, what can I say about the guy at this point, Will? Like, I love the potential. I think it's still there. I think it still could happen. But the injuries mount up. And if you're a team that's looking to buy on him, you're going to be looking to buy low. And do I think it could still happen where we see that talent emerge? Yeah, I think it does. It could. but it's probably going to be in a different location. It's probably going to be a couple years from now.
I think superstars are so hard to find in the NBA, and they're so valuable once you find them that, hey, even if it's 10%, 15%, 20% chance of you getting him in and that actually happening, even if it's a low probability, it's worth it to take a shot. I just don't know. I'm sure New Orleans doesn't want to sell low. It's an interesting cat and mouse game, but I think it'd be good for the league if he caught on somewhere else and just kind of took off. But I don't know, you know, what that looks like the next year or so.
It's just, it's all health with him though, right? Like it's every year you start to get excited. Right. Oh, he's out again. Then he's out for a long time. And it's, man, I think it's hard to, if you're any team out there, and I'm sure the Pelicans are thinking this way right now, but it's just, it's hard to put most of your eggs in that basket right now. If that is your plan of how your team is going to succeed in the future, it's just hard to count on with what he's shown us with these injuries.
Any chance the Warriors either during the trade deadline or this summer would actually do the unthinkable, consider the unthinkable and say, hey, we've had a great run here, but it's time to move on for Curry's sake, for our sake, we can get stuff back. Obviously Curry would have to be on board, but is that something you think is even feasible?
Man, I mean, everybody's got to keep in mind the new second apron and all these cap restrictions that these teams have. It really makes a lot of the things that we've talked about in the past and seen in the past just that much harder to pull off right now. I really think that's what's going on behind the scenes with Jimmy Butler and Bradley Beal and some of these. And Bradley Beal's even another conversation because he's got the no trade clause. But it makes it a lot more difficult to trade these players. Especially in season. And man, I keep going back with the Warriors. Unless Steph asks for it, I don't think we're ever seeing Steph Curry leave the Warriors. He's still a quality player on the court. I don't really think that the team should be rushing to make that move anyways, with how much he means to that city and to that franchise. That not a move I'd be looking to make, but man, they are in a tough position right now. Cause they were hoping, right, to straddle that. Let's have our stars still carry this team while this youth develops. And yeah, we saw Kuminga take some good steps this year before he got hurt. Just some of these other guys haven't taken that extra step forward, and they're really, really stuck with some problems right now. I don't have the answers for that team. I think it's going to have to be Steph. Steph is staying, and you're probably going to have to build around Kuminga a little bit more, which I guess that's a good thing that you at least saw enough of him that I don't think you'd want to get rid of Kuminga, because that was a big question heading into the season. You know, how long does he stay with the team? Or do you get ship him off for some quality pieces? I think they stick with him. And yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see what they do over the next couple of years with this roster, because right now it's hard to really believe in this team.
Last one, any either awards or futures that are worth a shot right now?
Man, that's a great. I think the MVP race is fascinating because it is. I don't have a bet right now, Will. You cannot go out there and make a case for anybody besides SGA and Nikola Jokic. And like, look, I have Giannis tickets from earlier this season. Giannis's numbers are still ridiculous, but if one of those guys doesn't get hurt, they're winning that award. I do think it becomes another interesting MVP argument this year of, all right, you're giving it to SGA, who's got really good numbers on a team that might rack up 70 wins or get close to that. I mean, they really might. Or are you going to give it to Nikola Jokic, who once again, which seems like we say this every year, he's going to have one of his better, if not his best statistical years. But are you going to care if it's on a 5-seed, Denver Nuggets team? I don't know how much that matters. I think it's going to be a really interesting race to watch. Look, the Rookie of the Year market, I'm just going to run through all these real quick. Rookie of the Year market, I've been nervous about getting involved in all season long. You got Ware now as the favorite.
That's incredible. Wasn't he 150 to 1 a couple weeks ago? Something insane.
It was not that long ago, man. He wasn't getting that much playing time. But I think that's the perfect example of, like, you better be damn sure before you go sink money into this market, right? Because none of these guys are all that impressive from a rookie standpoint. So I would be really scared betting that market. Most improved player right now, I'm set up pretty well with bets before the season on Cade Cunningham, and then Hero at 55 to 1 early in the year. I see, that's the one. Mobley drifting out to 18 to 1. I think he's worth consideration. I've already got enough bets in this market. I probably won't be adding another, but him at 18 to 1, I think he is a guy that a lot of voters are going to want to flock to give that award to because of how well the Cavaliers have played this year. DeAndre Hunter, if you can still catch like a 5 to 1 on him, sixth man of the year, I think he's a good bet there. What he's done off the bench for the Hawks, having his best season, only going to continue to get more minutes, more usage with Jalen Johnson now out for probably the season. I think he's a good bet. See him at plus 350 at DraftKings, but shop around. He was right around that 5-1 mark just a day before or a couple days before. And then at coach of the year, Ime Udoka has really been bet here recently. He's at plus 475 for the Rockets. Kenny Atkinson still minus 350. He's a strong favorite for coach of the year. I got a hard time kind of backing anybody but Atkinson. I'd really have a hard time believing he doesn't have that locked up pretty much already. This team would have to have a really, really bad run. Clutch player of the year, Will. I did just make some bets in this about a week ago. I got in on Trae Young and Tyrese Maxey. Maxey about the same number. I think I got 14, 15 to 1 on him. Maxey's like 12 to 1 at DraftKings right now. Trae Young down to 6 to 1. I got like a 25 to 1. On him. Maxey, I would still consider. He's not having as good of a season this year, and I understand why Jokic is up there, but this is a really, really basic award. This is all just the NBA trying to pump their clutch time minutes and their own clutch time stats and everything, and it is, I don't want to say it's a simple handicap, but pull up their clutch time stats, and you're looking for a player who's scoring a lot in clutch time, whose team finds themselves a lot in clutch time. So guess what? That means you're not really looking at a really bad team or a really good team, because they've got to be involved in close games down the stretch. And you're just looking for the player on that team that's going to get all the shots, all the points when you get down to those moments. So Maxey and Trae Young were guys that I had focused in on when I was kind of looking at that, because they had numbers that were way up there. And I'm expecting both those teams to kind of be around that meh, you know, just above kind of 500, you know, playing in that play-in range of where the playoff seeds are. So I think Trae Young and Maxey are going to continue to be involved there. I get why Jokic is there, though. And if Denver keeps finding themselves in these types of games, he's probably going to win it. But keep your eye on that market, because I do think there's some options. I think there's some guys in that market right now, like De'Aaron Fox. I don't understand how he's third on the board just because the guy's won it before. I don't really think he belongs there right now.
Had someone text me, Reed Wallach works for SI Betting, I've had on this podcast. He texted me earlier. He likes Malik Beasley, 25, 30 to one for sixth man of the year. You buying that at all?
Well, he's had a great season. I can't say I hate it. I think there's plenty of possible great betting opportunities out there if you are a believer in this Pistons team. Long-term, I think this Pistons team has been, I liked them over their win total this year. I had bet it pretty heavily last year. Clearly I was a year too early on that last year. I think it's tough though, to expect this team, especially with Jaden Ivey out, to be too much better than what they're playing like right now. I think we're probably seeing them hit their ceiling. So I think Beasley is probably going to be tough for him to get there, but the counter argument to that is the sixth man of the year market is a little bit more wide open than some of these others. I think I would prefer, if I was that big of a believer in the Pistons, I would rather bet coach of the year. I'd rather bet bigger staff to win coach of the year there, because I think that's who's going to get the most attention if they really surge up the standings and continue to surge up the standings. And if you're getting, I think you're getting about similar numbers on those guys right now, because Biggerstaff slid back out. He was second in the betting market for a long time, but you're seeing like 18 to 1 on him right now. I'd rather put my money in behind that.
Kelly, appreciate you coming on, man. It's good to catch up. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, at Kelly Bidlin on Twitter. Hit me up there. And we got Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast. We'll be doing weekly, me and Matt Brown going forward.
Kelly, appreciate the time, man. Thanks.
No problem. Anytime.
All right. Thanks to Kelly Bidlin. Rate, review, subscribe. We appreciate keeping those Apple reviews coming. Stuck on 109 here for Apple reviews. So appreciate if you guys can send those in. Tell a friend, tell anyone, trying to help out sharing the podcast as much as possible. Appreciate everyone. Back Friday. See you then.